What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, man, some of these playoff matchups, they are getting pushed to the brink, especially one of these series, man. They are just, it's just a great back and forth battle. So the first round was kind of meh with the matchups, but in this round, we've got two really solid matchups, and then we've got two matchups that have already moved on to their conference finals. So let's get right into it. With the first series between the New York Knicks and the Boston Celtics. So on Monday, the Knicks were able to get back on track with the win. They got the win 121-113. Now, in an unfortunate turn of events, Jason Tatum was going off. He had 42 points, but the Celtics were actually behind at this point. But still, he unfortunately got injured, and he ended up tearing his Achilles. So not only is he going to for sure be out the rest of this playoff series, there's a great shot that he's going to miss probably, just with these Achilles injuries, it usually takes about a year-ish for the full recovery. So, I mean, there's a good shot. He may miss a good chunk of next season, if not all of next season. So, I mean, the Achilles injury is one of the worst injuries you could suffer. Now, of course, lots of guys have come back from it, but at the same time, just the timing of when you get injured. If you get injured in the playoffs and then it lingers into next season, it's just that's always a terrible gut punch to a team that's already got championship aspirations, but it's definitely going to take a toll on next season for sure. But regardless, the New York Knicks, they had a great game. Jalen Brunson, he had a fantastic game, went off for 39 points and 12 assists. Karl Anthony Towns had 23 points and 11 rebounds, so just a really solid outing from the New York Knicks. Then they had a game on Wednesday, but this time Boston absolutely dominated this one, 127-102. So this was the first game without Jason Tatum, but they were in Boston, and so it's not really shocking that they were able to step it up in this one. But, I mean, really, it was all Boston all night. Jalen Brown was the one who stepped it up for the Boston Celtics. He had 28 points and 12 assists. Gotta say, though, turning into the new Draymond Green. I don't know if this is something Jalen Brown has been doing his entire career or if he just started doing it recently, but this motherfucker, especially in this specific game, dude was punching dudes in the nuts like no other. There was three occasions in this one game I could just think of right off the top of my head where I'm like, dude, what is up with you? He like kneed Jalen Brunson right in the nutsack, and then Jalen Brunson was the one who got ejected from the game because he ended up getting called for the foul, and he had a sixth foul, so he was out of the game. But right before that, I mean, Brown literally kneed him right in the nutsack. Then earlier in the game, he punched somebody in the nutsack. Then another one, he like grabbed it. I'm like, whoa. And, I mean, that's nothing new in the NBA. If you watch the NBA, you know that the old punch in the nuts has actually been going on for quite some time. Draymond Green has always been guilty of it for many, many years. I mean, hell, he's basically the reason why the Cleveland Cavaliers were able to win that NBA Finals years ago when they came back down 3-1 because Draymond Green punched LeBron in the nuts, and he got ejected, and he got a flagrant foul, and so that ended up getting him suspended for the following game, and it really cost them a game there, and then just the rest is history. Obviously, the Cavaliers came back in that one, so the whole nut-punching thing, it's just very common in today's game, but it's just like, I really noticed it. Brown was doing it in this game, and it's just maybe because, you know, it's all on him in this one, and but I mean, good showing for the Celtics, but, unfortunately they are still down 3-2, against the Knicks, and game six is Friday night in New York. I still think the Knicks have to at least keep it close because every game, including the games that they have won, they have been down by a lot. And I just feel like I wouldn't be surprised if it costs them the series. Now they should win tonight. I just kind of feel like they're going to win, especially now that there's no Jason Tatum. I feel like that basically sealed the deal for the Knicks in this one. Obviously, they still have to play the games, but I mean, no Jason Tatum is a huge, huge blow to this Boston Celtics team, even though they have a shit ton of talent. But I think it's going to be a tough one for them. But the Knicks really got to, they got to be the ones who come right out the gate, and I think they got to have the huge lead on the Boston Celtics in this one, but this is going to be a pivotal game for them because, you know, it's either headed to the Eastern Conference Finals or going to a Game 7. Then in the Minnesota Timberwolves versus the Golden State Warriors matchup, as I said, Julius Randle is going to be a huge X factor in this one, and he was a huge X factor in these two games that they won this week. So on Monday, they took out the Timberwolves took out the Golden State Warriors 117 to 110. Anthony Edwards had 30 points and Julius Randle had 31 points. And I mean, he's been big in the paint. He's just been so awesome in this playoff run. It's just crazy to see how fucking fantastic Julius Randle has been playing. I mean, I've always actually been a huge Julius Randle fan because he actually used to play for the Lakers. And even though they traded him away, I've always followed where he's gone because I've just always respected his game. I just feel like he's always been hindered by injuries. And this is exactly what I expect of this dude. He's healthy. And this is how fucking good he is defensively, offensively. He's just such a great player, and it's just on full display so far in this entire playoff run, not just in this series. He's just been fantastic in this playoff run. So they got the win in that game on Monday night, and then on Wednesday they took the series and took out the Golden State Warriors 121 to 110 to move on to the Western Conference Finals for the second year in a row. Julius Randle, big guy in this one as well, 29 points, 8 rebounds. Anthony Edwards also 22 points, 12 assists. So these two really the tag team, and they're going to be really difficult to stop. So whoever they go up against in the Western Conference Finals, this Timberwolves team is not, you should not overlook them. Yes, they basically, they laid an egg last year in the Western Conference Finals. They just got completely obliterated by the Dallas Mavericks. But I kind of feel like it's going to be a little bit different this time around, especially because they did not have Julius Randle last year. And like I said, Julius Randle keeps playing this way. You better watch out for this Minnesota Timberwolves team. But they will be sitting pretty until they get the winner of this Oklahoma City-Denver Nuggets series. And then moving on to the Indiana Pacers-Cleveland Cavaliers series. This one was very, very shocking. Yes, the Cavaliers had injuries every single game in this series. But you know what? They still are a good team. They had to battle through injuries all season long, but they still ended up with the number one seed in the Eastern Conference. So I just think the Indiana Pacers played great team basketball. I mean, I cannot reiterate it enough with this Pacers team. I've said it in both series that they've played in the playoffs that every win that they get, their starting five is in double digits in the points. And so it's like when you got everybody scoring, you got dudes in the paint doing their thing, you got them making the big defensive plays, making the big plays in the end, the game-winning shots. And then, of course, when your stars step it up, like Halliburton, who makes the shots when he has to, or makes the big, you know, rebound when he misses the free throw, makes the rebound, and then gets the three-point shot against Cleveland, you know, that's just crazy. And that's just what you want to see. And so they took out Cleveland in this game, 114 to 105. Halliburton had 31. Siakam had 21. And Indiana just sits and waits to see who they face off in the Eastern Conference Finals between the Knicks and the Celtics. We'll either find out on Friday or Sunday who the Pacers are going to be playing. Now, is this layoff going to be a big deal for the Pacers? Because, you know, they won on Tuesday night. So, and there's for sure a game 6 tonight, and if it goes to game 7, then that's probably going to be on Sunday. And if that ends up being on Sunday, then that means the Eastern Conference Finals probably don't start till like Tuesday or Wednesday. And wow, that's quite a week is quite the layoff for the Pacers. So that may or may not be a good thing for them, but I mean, they took care of business with the Cleveland Cavaliers, and the Cavaliers are a good team regardless of the injuries. And then moving on to the best series so far in the semi-conference finals right now between the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Denver Nuggets. I mean, these two teams are just trading barbs each and every game. And this Denver Nuggets team will just not go away. And I'm not surprised. They have championship caliber level players, and they are only a couple years removed from a championship. So they know how to win this time of year. And when you got dudes like Jokic and Murray who step it up every single night, you got the Aaron Gordons, you got now the Browns, as well. It's just they've got a really solid core, but so does Oklahoma City. And so this has just been a battle. So on Tuesday night, Oklahoma City got the win 112-105. They pretty much had this one for the majority of it. Actually, Denver, they were really controlling it. And then all of a sudden, Oklahoma City just kind of turned it all around. And Denver just started to implode in the fourth quarter, especially. But SGA had 31 points, and he just kept chipping away at it. Jokic had 44 points and 15 rebounds. Like I said, there was a huge fourth quarter implosion from the Nuggets. And that's just kind of their thing. They have these implosions all the time, and that's what cost them in this game. But last night, they got the huge win over Oklahoma City, 119-107. Jokic's best game for sure in this series. He had 29 points, 14 rebounds, 8 assists. He just was very efficient and not really, it was just basically a typical Jokic game for him. Jamal Murray had 25 points. Brown had 23 points. It was just an excellent game from them. They had the lead for the majority of this one. And, SGA, it's always funny to watch because he is unstoppable. But with that being said, even though he's getting a whole bunch of points, the rest of the team around him isn't doing anything. And so that's one of the reasons why they lost last night. Because even in the end, it looked like Denver was real close to imploding yet again with like 2 minutes left to go. It was getting real close there. And I'm like, there was like three possessions in a row where they just completely had the ball stolen from them. And really just because they lost the ball. They still held on and got the win, but there was a good, about the three or four minute mark, I'm like, are you trying to give this away? You need to hold on to this. And then at the 2 minute mark, it was getting really close, but then they just started to pull away yet again. Denver has tied it up, and we have us yet another game 7 with the Denver Nuggets, on Sunday. So it is for everything. Oklahoma City, it's at home in Oklahoma City, so they definitely got the home court advantage, but they better not overlook this Denver Nuggets team. I keep saying the experience is a big deal for them, but at the same time, these implosions that they keep having in the fourth quarters, especially, it's probably going to cost them, and, it almost cost them in this last one, but we'll see what happens in Game 7, because anything can happen in Game 7s. Moving on to baseball and what happened this week, we had a few standout performances and some big one game where a huge score happened. So let's start off with Monday and between the New York Mets and the Pittsburgh Pirates. Paul Skeens came out. He had another solid outing, but once they took him out, it was pretty much all Mets, which is no shock there because the Pirates are terrible other than Paul Skeens, and then the Mets are good. But they got the win 4-3. Skeens went 6 innings and had 6 strikeouts. But Pete Alonso, he's been having a fantastic year, and he actually had the walk-off flyout in this game, so he's why they won. Then on Tuesday, we had a hell of a matchup between the Detroit Tigers and the Boston Red Sox. The Tigers got the win 10-9, but I mean, it was back and forth. Javi Baez had a huge game for the Tigers. He went 2-for-4 with 2 home runs and 6 RBI. Torkelson also added in a home run, but it was just back and forth between these two. It was like every time one would get the leg up, boom, somebody else would come up and hit a home run out the park. Then also on Tuesday night, the San Diego Padres got a close win over the Los Angeles Angels, 6-4. Fernando Tatis had a walk-off home run in this one, but also Dylan Cease had quite the outing. He went 6.2 innings with 10 strikeouts. Now, towards the end of his outing, is when the runs started to come in. But 10 strikeouts, that's just crazy. He's been having a hell of a season so far. But very close win. And, Fernando Tatis is continuing his fantastic season as well. Then on Wednesday, the Minnesota Twins, they are actually the team right now in the league with the longest winning streak. They actually had a doubleheader against the Baltimore Orioles. They won the first game. But they also won the second game, which was just a crazy one. They won 8-6, and they ended up extending their winning streak 10 wins in a row. Cody Clemens ended up having the game-winning home run in this one. and on the verge of sweeping the O's, and they actually ended up doing that on Thursday as well, getting their 11th win in a row, beating the Orioles 4-0. Their pitcher Paddock went 7 innings with 0 earned runs and 3 strikeouts. Then, as I mentioned, this Detroit Tigers-Boston Red Sox matchup this week was just crazy. On Wednesday, the Tigers got the win 6-5, and Alex Bregman has just been so huge for the Red Sox this year. He went 3-for-4 with a home run and an RBI. And then for the Tigers, Riley Green continues to have a great year as well. He went 3-for-4 with the home run and 2 RBI as well. And Malloy had the game winner for the Detroit Tigers. And then on Thursday, Shohei Ohtani just continues his insane season as well. He had 2 home runs and 6 RBI in a Dodgers win over the A's 19-2. Yeah, 19-2. Basically, everybody who was in the batting order for the Dodgers scored. So pretty much it was just an absolute obliteration last night from the Dodgers. All right, moving on to some NFL news. I know it's May, so we don't get a lot going on with the NFL right now. You know, once the draft happens, it's pretty much slim pickings from the end of the draft until training camp begins. You know, we get the little bit of free agency things that may happen here and there or some contract extensions, but for the most part, it is quiet this time of year, and that is why the NFL decided, hey, what can we do in between the draft and training camp to kind of keep everybody's palate salivated for the NFL season, and that is drop the NFL schedule. And, you know, I'm not going to do the whole stupid predictions of the win losses and shit because I just think that is so insanely stupid. I do not understand anybody looking at the schedules of any of the teams right now on May 16th and saying, win-loss, win-loss. I mean, you have no idea what the fuck is going to happen between now and the beginning of the season. And also, we don't know how any of these teams are going to turn out. So I'm not doing that. I'm just going to be highlighting all the opener, the Thanksgiving games, and just all the games that matter are noteworthy for the upcoming season. So, as usual, every season, the Super Bowl champion usually hosts the game opener, which is always on Thursday night. And so the Philadelphia Eagles, they are the Super Bowl champions. They will be hosting my Dallas Cowboys, bitches. I'm so excited for this. Dallas Cowboys, Philadelphia Eagles opening night. I am so looking forward to the Dallas Cowboys shitting all over the Philadelphia Eagles banner night. But season opens on September 4th in Philadelphia. Dallas at Philadelphia. Oh, looking forward to it, even though that's all the way in September. And, I'm pretty happy with letting the summer go by and all that and just enjoying what's to come. But, looking forward to the start of the NFL season. And that's a great way to start the NFL season, the Cowboys and the Eagles. Then the Thanksgiving triple header this year is going to be the Green Bay Packers at the Detroit Lions. Always an oldie but goodie. I mean, the Detroit Lions are always on Thanksgiving, and they've played the Packers quite a few times on Thanksgiving. This is always a great rivalry, and both teams should be pretty decent this year. I mean, as far as we're concerned, so should be a good matchup. Then the next game we have on Thanksgiving is the Kansas City Chiefs at the Dallas Cowboys. Should be a great matchup. Who knows how either team's going to be, but, Cowboys always play Thanksgiving, and against the Chiefs should be probably the most watched game of the season simply because it's the two of the most popular teams in the league. So I'm sure that's going to be a pretty highly rated game for the season. And then rounding out Thanksgiving, we have the Cincinnati Bengals at the Baltimore Ravens, another great divisional matchup. Then our Black Friday game is going to be the Chicago Bears at the Philadelphia Eagles. Then this year on Christmas, we get 3 games. Last year, we got 2 games, and this year they added in another one. So we don't, we get two Netflix games, and then we also get an Amazon Prime game. So the two Netflix games are going to be the Dallas Cowboys at the Washington Commanders and the Detroit Lions at the Minnesota Vikings. And then the Amazon Prime game is going to be the Denver Broncos at the Kansas City Chiefs. So those all look like pretty good matchups, you know, at this point in time. And then the international games, and they have quite a few this year. As a matter of fact, we've added in a couple of new countries as well. So let's get started with week one. We open yet again in Brazil like last year. This year's week one matchup in Brazil is going to be the Kansas City Chiefs versus the Los Angeles Chargers. Then September 28th, here's a new country, Dublin, Ireland. First time ever the NFL is going to be playing in Dublin. And it's going to be the Minnesota Vikings versus the Pittsburgh Steelers on September 28th. Then we have our run on the London game. So October 5th, first London matchup is going to be the Minnesota Vikings versus the Cleveland Browns. If you'll notice, I just said the Vikings are playing in Dublin. I think that's the week before. So the Vikings are basically going to be like an experiment where they're playing in one country and then they're going to be playing in another country the following week. So they're basically staying international for a couple weeks. So they will be going from Dublin to London. Then on October 12th, the next London matchup is going to be the Denver Broncos versus the New York Jets. Then on October 19th, the last London matchup is going to be between the Los Angeles Rams and the Jacksonville Jaguars. Then November 9th, we go back to Germany, but this time we're going to Berlin with the Atlanta Falcons versus the Indianapolis Colts. And then the last international game, which is another new country, we have November 16th in Madrid, Spain, the Washington Commanders versus the Miami Dolphins. So like I said, we've got a couple of new countries in there, a couple of new cities in there, and you know, it's looking like we've got the Vikings playing in two different countries this time around. So lots of international matchups. And then, of course, when is the Super Bowl rematch between the Philadelphia Eagles and the Kansas City Chiefs? It's going to be right off the bat, actually. Week two, the Philadelphia Eagles are going to be at the Kansas City Chiefs. And I kind of feel like those are the most noteworthy games to mention at this point in the season because, I mean, obviously, we just don't know how everybody's going to be. So I just decided to highlight those games. All right, moving on to this week's Top 5 list. And, you know, as I've done the last couple of weeks, I've been going over old school players and their playoff moments because, you know, we are in the middle of the NBA playoff run right now. And we are having a lot of great performances with guys, but, you know, I've done Michael Jordan 2 weeks ago, Larry Bird last week. And so this week I decided, you know what? I haven't really talked about this guy a lot, which is really shocking because he is one of my personal favorites because he had a great run as a Los Angeles Laker. So why not? Why not knock this one out? Because he was a bad motherfucker. And that is the Top 5 Shaq playoff moments. I love Shaq. You know, a lot of people these days, you know him as the personality and just he's in every commercial and everything and real Shaq. For real, though, like with Shaq and all his all the endorsements that he does is shout out to him for just putting his name on everything. I mean, way to go get your money, dude, and keep getting that money. I can't tell you how much I respect that when I see any entertainer taking advantage like that. And just making all the money they can on any fucking endorsement possible. Good for you, dude. So that's one awesome thing I love about Shaq. But I mean, as a basketball player, one of the most dominating figures of all time was Shaq. I actually feel sorry for you if you did not get to witness Shaq's career. So here are the top five Shaq playoff moments. Beginning with number 5, the 2002 Western Conference Finals, Game 6. And since we're talking about Shaq, every time I bring up this team, I gotta call them what Shaq called them. This is Game 6 versus the Sacramento Queens, as Shaq used to lovingly call them. But this is one of the greatest performances of all time between the tag team duo of Shaquille O'Neal and Kobe Bean Bryant. These two would go off and combine for 72 points. Since we ain't talking Kobe, even though you know I love me some Kobe, we talking Shaq. these two guys just had one of the most dominating, amazing performances of all time, and they had to win. If they lost, Sacramento was moving on. They had to force a game seven in this one, and that is exactly what they did. They got the win 106-102, forced game seven, and would go on and win the NBA Finals that year. But Shaq would go 14 for 25, 13 for 17 at the free throw line. That is something worth highlighting because we all know the only thing that Shaq was terrible at in his career was free throws. So, going 13 for 17 for him is just, that's just crazy. So he went 13 for 17 with the free throws. He had 41 points and 17 rebounds. That's the thing about Shaq is like, he was such a beast when it came to scoring points and just dominating the paint. He was the biggest dude on the court. He would elbow you. He was really, for the most part, pretty unguardable. I mean, they had to create the hack a Shaq because he was so terrible with the free throws. But even with the hack a Shaq, it wouldn't work sometimes. Yes, it worked on occasions, but for the most part, if you really looked at it, it didn't really pan out in the favor of the teams that would do the hack a Shaq. So, but I mean, 41 points, that was pretty typical for him. I mean, he has games where he went for like 62 points. That's just how dominating a figure Shaq was. But this was just an amazing, not only moment for him, but amazing moment for him and Kobe Bryant. Then at number four in my top five Shaq playoff moments, the 2000 NBA Finals Game 6 versus the Indiana Pacers. This was the first championship of the three straight that the Lakers won in the early 2000s. But this was a dominating series, really, for Shaq. I mean, we all knew about Shaq. We all knew he was a dominating figure. We all knew he was a great basketball player. But this was like his moment to shine. He opened the door and waved the 4-4 and kicked everybody to the curb in this one. Like, he dominated these finals against Indiana. And in this particular game, in Game 6, to win it all, he had 41 points, 12 rebounds, and 4 blocks. He just completely obliterated the Pacers. And they knew they didn't want to go to a Game 7 in this one. He was like, no, we want to win this. And he just completely took over this game and this series and the first of the three championships. Then at number three on my top five Shaq playoff moments, the 2002 Western Conference Finals Game 7 versus the Sacramento Queens. This one went into overtime. And Shaq stat line was nuts. 35 points, 13 rebounds, and 4 blocks, and 12 of those points in overtime. Like, he just turned that shit on in the fourth quarter in overtime. I mean, he really went off. And, you know, this is, of course, the Sacramento Queens fan, like, least favorite game of all time because the game was taken from them. It was taken from them. Well, too fucking bad. Guess what? Lakers still went on to win everything, and you can suck a dick and shut the fuck up and go cry to someone who gives a shit because guess what? Y'all still ain't champs. Still to this fucking day. So go blame somebody about that. Oh, you can't, except for your shitty team. Light the beam, idiots. But anyways, this game was great. Especially in the fourth quarter and overtime, Shaq just completely dominated. Kobe had some great, great moves as well. Just an amazing Western Conference Finals overall. But from the Lakers, Shaq really in this specific game, it was just a great dominating game for him and a pivotal game as well in the entire series and really the entire season. Then at number two on my top five Shaq playoff moments, I have the 2000 NBA Finals Game 2 versus the Indiana Pacers. So this is, like I said, on moment number four, that was Game 6, but this one's Game 2. And like I said, Shaq dominated this series, and he certainly did. Now in this series, it was quite funny because this is when they really did try and implement the hack of Shaq quite a bit, and it completely backfired in their faces. Now, if you don't know what hack of Shaq means, hack of Shaq is, like I said, Shaq terrible at free throws. So you want to get him to the line because he's more than likely not going to make the free throws. But in this matchup, it didn't matter at all. He went 18 for 39 at the free throw line, so that is terrible. But basically, what they would do is they would just keep fouling him to get him to the line. And that's what the hack-a-shack is. Boom, you hack him, but he gets to the line, misses all the points. But it didn't matter because he ended up having a double-double in which he went for 40 points and 24 rebounds. And those 24 rebounds actually ended up being the most rebounds in one NBA Finals game, the most since 1964. So that's how long ago a center dominated the NBA Finals was back in 1964. So he just really absolutely obliterated this game, but it was just a really funny game because they kept trying to hack a Shaq and it kept taking them nowhere. And then rounding out the top five Shaq playoff moments at number one, this is the near quadruple double. In the 2001 NBA Finals Game 2 versus the Philadelphia 76ers, it is one of the most flawless performances that Shaq has ever had. He had 28 points. He went 12 for 19 from the field. 20 rebounds. So he had a double-double. He was so close to a quadruple-double, though. He had 9 assists and 8 blocks. He was just 1 assist and 2 blocks away from a quadruple-double, but it didn't matter. We needed every ounce of that 28 points, 20 rebounds, 9 assists, and 8 blocks. He just was a monster in this game. Also in the series, but in this game in particular, it was like, you have nobody who's going to be able to go up against the great Shaquille O'Neal, especially in that game. And if you just rewatch the highlights, it is just nuts to see how much he dominated this one. It was like every time he got the ball, it was like, boom, boom, boom. Because another thing about Shaq, if you didn't watch Shaq, of course Shaq dominated the paint. That's where he dominated. So it was just pretty much get the ball to Shaq in the paint and he would just slam it on you. I mean, there were numerous occasions where he actually broke the backboard. That is what kind of a bad motherfucker he was when it came to dominating the paint and just absolutely obliterating everyone there in there. It was just very, very easy to just pass the ball to Shaq, and he is right there. Nobody can guard him, and he's so big and so dominating. What the hell are you going to do? I remember when Yao Ming came into the league, and everybody thought, oh, Yao Ming versus Shaq. It's going to be a big matchup. It's going to be so tough for big Shaqy. No, it wasn't at all. That was one of the weakest fucking forced matchups of all time. I'm not trying to diss Yao Ming, by the way. Yao Ming actually had a phenomenal career. But going up against Shaq, I'm sorry, Shaq dominated his ass every single motherfucking time. Yao Ming was not even a presence against Shaq because Shaq was so goddamn huge, he could just fucking push even his big ass out the way. Come on, y'all. So Shaq, oh, God, I loved Shaq. I loved that career. He was such a fun Laker to watch, even though you all should know this by now, that in the feud between Kobe and Shaq, I'm Kobe all day. So come on, when it came down to it, if we got to choose between the two of them, bye-bye, Shaq. But he went on to still do great things with his career. And like I said, respect everything about his career, especially as a Laker. And just one of the most fun players to watch. And just had some great years as a Laker. All right, y'all. Enjoy the weekend of sports. And I will talk to you fools on Monday.